So tell us a little bit more about the experiments with the animals and the healing.
So the short version is that Crinsley set up this experiment at City University of New York in the biology department with animals that have 100% fatality in 27 days, and you know exactly how many and what percentage of animals will die a certain number of days subsequent to injection and things like that. So you can run all sorts of statistical tests. And this is an off-the-shelf from Jackson Laboratories, you know, the biggest distributor of experimental animals and such. So it's probably the most studied animal model ever is this mammary cancer. So nothing, no exotic animals, but just under exotic conditions. So instead of doing traditional biological research, we're going to do mice in a cage, put your hands around them, see what happens. This guy backed out. And it would be a gross understatement to say that I threw a fit. Cause we had gone through a lot of trouble setting this thing up. And since I had spent a lot of time with him, Crinsley talked me into being the substitute healer. Now, I don't think of myself as a healer, but I figured, well, we got mice, we got this guy who backed out, I became plan B. So I put my hands around these cages and did stuff that healing techniques that this guy and I had developed or thought about or speculated about and such, and put my hands around the cage for an hour a day under laboratory conditions, and to our, first of all, dismay, the animals started to grow tumors. So they were injected with a mammary cancer, and we assumed, you talk about being surprised, we assumed that if anything was going to happen, then they'd never grow tumors. Well, they did grow tumors, and then the tumors got larger and larger. I thought the experiment was failing. You talk about belief.
You would think so, right?
I wanted to call it off. I said, well, it didn't work, you know, life. Let's move on. Let's ask another question, see what happens. So I thought, and I was talked into, well, go another day, go another day, go another day. Tumors got bigger and bigger. I thought, we need to call this off. The tumors started to ulcerate. And I thought, the mice have to be suffering. Let's call this off. Got talked into one more day, one more day, one more day. The tumors imploded. And the mice were completely cured. And so in a mouse model that had never had a spontaneous remission, that traditional approaches had no effect on, at least past 27 days, we had full lifespan cures. And it gets even stranger than that. Not only were the mice cured, we re-injected them and the injections wouldn't take.
What do you mean they wouldn't take?
They were immune for life. And we couldn't give him cancer again.
Unbelievable.
And we went, whoa, didn't see this coming. And then, of course, the next problem was, can we replicate this? So was this a fluke? Or can we do it again? So I said, well, I'm not a healer. Let's see if we can get other people to do this. And I dealt with, I got two faculty members from City University.
Were they healers?
No, they didn't believe this stuff. And I got two students from St. Joseph's College, and the criteria for being in my experiments was that you had a laugh in my face. Exactly, you can be a member.
Just like that. I'm in.
Yeah, you're in. So if I said, well, we just did this experiment on healing, and someone said, oh, gee, I believe that. That's interesting. I'd like it. I've heard of it. I said, get away from me. They had a laugh in my face and say, come on, really, what do you want me to do? And I kept saying, I want you to put your hands around a cage of mice. I want you to follow my instructions exactly. I want. And they said, no, really. And I actually had students who in their logs, these volunteers, thought I was really doing a study in gullibility. And in their logs, they would say, I wonder what Bankston's really doing, because we feel like complete jackasses putting our hands around these cages. We don't believe any of this crap. We're doing his stupid techniques,
yeah.
And I wonder what's really going on. So it's got to be, how dumb are we, and can we get people to believe that you can put your hands around a cage? So I had complete and utter, I don't know what you call them, believers. Maybe these people were believers, but they were disbelievers. And they certainly had no experience, knew nothing at all about any of this weird hocus-pocus kind of healing. So I did this with some faculty members and some students, and we reproduced the effect. And all the mice got cured. And they were cured for life. And we watched them for 2 years.
What did you deduce by this, Bill?
Well, the most glib answer is we need to keep doing this. But we deduced from this that you certainly learned humility, that we had no idea what in heaven's name was going on. And I deduced from this that we have to find out biologically what's going on. And this is a whole entire area. This is almost an industry of research potential. Because the questions that leap to mind are, what's happening to the mice? What's happening to the healer? Can this thing be reproduced? Who can do it? Who can't? Can someone be taught how to do this? Are there known biological processes going on in the organism that can be reproduced with or without the crazy hands-on healing? I mean, I can just keep going with questions. So in terms of deducing a conclusion, I didn't have many. In terms of making my mind go nutty with questions to be asked, there are very few things I've ever experienced that didn't produce such a rush of awe, wonder, and boy, do I have to keep looking at this.
Let's look at it several ways. One is, as you just pointed out, the little animals had no concept that you were doing this. So can we rule out anything religious or spiritual here?
As long as you're prepared to rule that out in the animals, yes.
Yeah.
And I am. Okay. So I would say this is, you know, to use a phrase or a word you used earlier, I don't think this is supernatural in any way, shape, or form.
No.
I don't think it is religious in any way, shape, or form. It certainly has nothing to do with belief in any way, shape, or form, because here you had presumably neutral animals by disbelieving healers.
Somehow then the healer is drawing this energy, if that's what it is, from the universe, from the ether, from somewhere, pushing it through into his recipient, and it's doing remarkable things when it hits the body.
Well, you raise it. I'm actually impressed that you said if it's an energy, because there's a common phrase out there could just call it, I guess in modern parlance they say energy healing, and I wonder whether it's energy. Now, I'm using the term, or I do use the term, but I got to still, as a good card-carrying skeptic, I got to scratch my head and wonder whether I'm using the term correctly. And so you talked about a book titled Chasing the Cure. That's an that's a Canadian book. The American version is called The Energy Cure, and that's coming out in about a month from Sounds True. But it's called The Energy Cure, and I don't know whether it's energy.
It might
be. That's sort of a leap of faith on my part. Is this really energy? I don't know. So you're speculating, and I think properly, the way that people who look at this speculate. Is it an energy? Is it information? Is it information that draws on some other type of energy? I mean, I think these are really interesting and researchable questions.